not to talk about family when family's all that we got. Everything I went through, you were standing there by my side. And now you're gonna be with me for the last one. Hello and welcome to Too Fast, Too Forever. There's all kinds of family. We chose this one. This is episode 9, The Fate of the Furious, lap 1. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
I'm Joe Too, and this episode is brought to you by Ancestry.com. Discover what makes you uniquely you. You can uncover your ethnic mix, distant relatives, and even new ancestors on Ancestry DNA. I don't know if you got your mouth swab kit in the mail, but did you?
I have not yet, but I've also, you know the mail system here, that I've run into some problems getting things on time. So I think it's just on the way here. That's not a bit for this thing. I have struggled to get mail on time.
We have had problems with you and the mail there.
Yes.
But when you do get it, you can discover what's unique, makes you uniquely you.
Very excited.
Yeah. I mean, you know, this show's about family. I had a call on the big guns. Get the most familial thing we could do, Ancestry.com.
What I like about this sponsor is that we did not go for the trendy 23andMe or whatever the hell the other one is. We went to the OG, or they came to us, and they said, we want to prove your family.
Can I tell you how this came up?
Sure.
I was watching Fast and Furious, and I was tweeting about family.
As one does.
And somebody was like, hey. I was on Twitter, I got a DM, Ancestry.com. They were like, hey, we know that you have a hugely popular podcast.
Yeah.
And they were like, we want to partner up. And I was like, I don't know. I was like, I'd been talking to 23andMe. I had been talking to the other one. And, you know, I was like, I don't know how I feel about this. And they were like, look, we're going to make it worth your while. Free Ancestry DNA kits for both of you. And we'll prove that you're family. And I was like, done. That works.
Wow. Cool. There you go.
That's how it happened.
That's all it takes. That's all it takes.
That's all it takes, yeah.
So here we are for Fate of the Furious, which I'm going to say right off the bat is my least favorite of the 8.
Really?
I do not like this movie. I think that this movie betrays so many characters and so many things that this series holds
dear.
Your
justice for Han for the win, right? That's what's going on?
Definitely a big part of it. I do think that by the very, very end of the movie, and we'll get to that when we get to it,
okay,
the movie rebounds a bit. And there's a lot of things I like in this movie, but the entirety of Dom versus the family, I do not like 1 minute of.
Yeah, same. I don't know how I feel about Dom versus the family. It's a lot of Dom versus the family.
Yeah, that's the main thrust of this movie.
It's Dom like an hour family. And 40 minutes, at least, of Dom versus the family.
Yeah.
Where else are they going to go from there, though? You know what I mean? Like what were they going to do without Paul Walker? What could they have fought? What could they have done? So it makes sense you need one that Dom kind of turns. But at the same time, it's like, really? Like, that's what you did? Yeah, it feels weird. I agree. I felt uneasy in my stomach when I was watching it, so.
We will get into all of that shortly. I do want to point out one thing before we get to our first segment, that on the last episode, when we were down in Universal Studios,
yes,
Orlando,
bonus episode,
Florida, I mistakenly said that was episode 9. This is actually episode 9. I was just so giddy to be in Orlando on a hashtag family vacation that I misspoke and said the wrong episode number. This is actually episode 9.
I don't forgive you.
Fate of the Furious.
I don't forgive you at all.
Well, thank you.
Go back, fix it, do it again. Thanks.
I also just realized that the episode of Watch the Throne we just recorded, the new game that we play where we add Charlize Theron into the new release of the weekend, I got the entire subtitle for Sicario 2 wrong. Like, I wasn't even close. I thought it was Soledad. It's Day of the Soldado. So, like, that's all messed up, too. I'm not fixing the post. We just let it ride here on the Cage Club Podcast Network.
Let
Cage
it ride? Me.
Let it ride. Email us, family@cageclub.me. Let me know if you think that I should go back and fix that audio blooper.
Probably should.
In episode 8.
Just kidding. I don't give a shit. But that's funny anyways.
Our first segment is extracurricular activities, which I realized we recorded last episode 34 days ago, and I have probably lived the most life in the last 34 days that I have in like any 34-day stretch.
Really?
In my life. Like, I've done a lot of things.
Good. What have you done?
First things first.
Yes.
After we did that, had an engagement party to go to in the city, saw Joe versus the Volcano for the first time at that engagement party.
What does that mean?
What does what mean?
Joe versus the Volcano.
It's a Tom Hanks movie from 1990.
Okay.
That I was meaning to watch, but the crux of this engagement party, because my friend works at the Draft House in Brooklyn, was we're going to watch a movie, and then we're going to eat and drink. So that's what we did.
Interesting. That's really cool that you got to see like a movie in the, was it like a closed theater? Like, was it just you guys? That's
family
really cool.
And friends.
Okay, cool.
Then the next day, we went down to Asbury, New Jersey to see Elvana, which I think I told you about, which is a Nirvana cover band led by an Elvis impersonator.
That's
and they
dumb.
Are wonderful.
That's
and the
really
opening
cool.
band was Country Grits and the Dicks, and they are great too. So great weekend there for me.
Yeah, that's awesome, dude. That sounds like a lot of fun. Yeah, we talked about this because what have I been up to? Did I talk about going to San Diego?
I don't think so, because we recorded the last episode really early because we were both
about to travel, right?
California, and we were both traveling, yeah.
Okay, so we recorded early because I was about to be in California for a work trip, so Rachel and I went to San Diego,
yep,
did work stuff, we meandered on, and we went to Sedona,
mm-hmm.
and we did Antelope Canyon, which I have a bunch of cool pictures from, which I didn't post on the Too Fast, Too Forever thing. But if you were following the Too Fast, Too Forever page on Facebook, you would have seen that, like, I was on a work trip, and I was watching Tokyo Drift while I was there.
It's just always on, yeah.
It's always on. Then from Sedona, we went to the Grand Canyon, and then we went to Las Vegas for a day, and then we came back, and as you guys know, we took family vacation.
Yep.
So we did that. What else have I been doing? Nothing. Hanging out. I made a pizza tonight. That was pretty good. Yeah, no, just simple shit. I made a brisket the other day. I was barbecuing for my boss's party. Normal stuff. Lots of barbecue coming up for me, at least.
Yep.
I'm a big barbecue fan. And then I will be visiting you this weekend.
You sure will be.
Yeah.
I still have other things to recap in this time period. You just did your whole month in about 2 minutes, but I have more things to do. One thing I told you about of major importance. So the weekend after the engagement party and the concert, I had a bachelor party, a weekend-long bachelor party for my friend.
We've both been, like, traveling a ton, right? Like, this is pretty cool. I like it.
We hung out. We really, truly live in the Playboy lifestyle. On Friday night, we hung out and drank. Saturday, we did a bar crawl or bar trek, which we all rode bicycles from bar to bar and got progressively more drunk, and it was great. Sunday, we went down to Atlantic City, and I'd never been to Atlantic City, even though I lived
in New Jersey
almost all my life. Really? Now, gambling is legal in New Jersey after we, you know, came back from there, but it is what it is, or sports gambling.
Sports betting,
but
yeah.
But the important thing, and I message you this, as one does when one is on a bachelor party, we made our way to a strip club. And the details of the evening, nothing
blur.
Crazy. I mean, my friend spent a lot more money than I did, like an uncomfortable amount of money. But the most notable moment of the evening was that the first song that played in its entirety, literally the first song when we walked inside, was Danza Kuduro from Fast Five. And I was like,
perfect.
I'm home.
Home. Perfect.
This is where I want to stay forever.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, I don't know if I told you this, I might have. After we left the strip club, we went back to the Tropicana where we were staying. We were just walking around, you know, getting more drunk, going from place to place. There was this nightclub there called the Kiss Kiss Club or something? Kiss Kiss
okay.
Bang Bang? Kiss Kiss Nightclub, whatever. And we went in there, and the first song that plays, as we're walking in, the song changes over to Pony by Genuine, a.k.a. the Magic Mike song. And
yeah.
I was like, this is a weekend dedicated to my podcast endeavors. Incredible.
To me, you just dedicated it to me. I appreciate it. Thank you.
I'm
glad that you're at a strip club thinking about me. That makes me feel really good.
I would have taken a video or picture or something of it, you know,
but you shouldn't.
Audio of it.
Because that's creepy.
But I also, they made you check your phone at the door, and
you told me.
They made you pay to check your phone.
I get it. It's fucking creepy if like...
Oh, yeah.
I understand, like, you know, like, maybe to use your phone, but if I was a woman working in a strip club, I would not want the possibility of guys creepily videoing me. Like, even if...
Well...
It's just weird.
I was talking to them about this because I do strip clubs wrong, and I was just having conversations.
Or right. But go ahead.
They were saying, it's not about the pictures and the videos, because you're already seeing them naked. It's the fact that they don't want to be pressured into having to give out their phone number when you already want to have sex with them and you're staying 3 minutes away.
That's very true.
This level of pressure that it just puts on the girls that they have to, like, you know, either deflect or lie or give in, because it's all, you know, it's all a business transaction. They're just trying to get money.
Yeah,
you're there and you're trying to be weird and creepy, and, like, it just removes a level of creep. So,
which I also agree with.
It's really not about the pictures and videos at all.
In that sense, in the picture and video sense, I like the lock up your cell phone. Because it's like, hey, first of all, fucking pay attention, right? Like, you shouldn't have your cell phone out at a concert. You shouldn't have your cell phone out at a strip club. Two, don't be a creep. And three, don't be a super creep trying to get their phone number. Because, like, they don't give a fuck.
Yep.
Like, you're paying them for time and attention. Like, that's how it works. And just deal with it. That's how it works.
Let's see. What else happened in the last month? I went to a live podcast taping of Never Not Funny, which is one of my favorite, if not my favorite podcast. That was in Brooklyn.
Okay.
That was good.
I forget a lot of mine.
I'm just looking at my calendar. If I didn't look at my calendar, I would completely forget that I did all these things.
Fair.
We did our family vacation, which we already talked about. Go check out that bonus episode. My sister flew home for my mom's retirement party and birthday and Father's Day, so we did all that. Interesting.
Yes, true.
It was a very, very good month.
Oh, so I have another one that I just remembered now that you brought some stuff up. Last weekend, I went home for two of my friends. They got married. Well, I didn't go home. I went to Rachel's home. Two of our friends that we knew together had gotten married. We're there. I have a chest cold. I still have a chest cold. It sucks. When we were there, I was going to leave, but we decided not to leave and spend an extra day with Rachel's parents, and we had a family dinner with her and her mom's friends, and we did a crab boil because they live in Maryland. So we ate a bunch of crabs that day, like a whole bushel full. Do you know how many a bushel is?
It sounds like a lot.
It's a fuck ton.
Oh, is that the actual definition?
A fuck ton is
if you look up bushel in the dictionary,
it equals fuck ton. Yes, yeah, yep. Exactly, okay. Precisely. Cool. It was way too many crabs, and there was not enough people to eat all of those crabs. But we ate crabs, and we barbecued. I was not head barbecuer, because it was not my house. But yeah, that's what we did.
It's nice of you to pass the ceremonial torch or the spatula or the whatever to...
Yeah, I just try to not take the spatula if I'm not there. It's not my house, I get it.
Did anybody ask you to bless the table?
No, we didn't say grace. I didn't get to bless the table.
Wow.
Yeah, it was rough. That's how it was. Some shit happens.
I get it. But yeah, so that was extracurricular activities. A very good month, I think, for both of us. The next month, you're coming down the next month this weekend for my housewarming. I did not tell you this yet, I don't think.
What?
There's probably going to be at least two different podcasts recorded that I'm not involved with. People just keep asking me, hey, can we record something now? If you bring your computer, you can do whatever you want. I'm not involved. I'm not going to help you.
Yeah.
Do what you want. But that's what happens when you invite podcast nerds to your house, I guess.
Shit happens. Okay.
And also, as we're releasing this, July 1st, so we'll probably do some fun stuff. I got invited to another 4th of July party, so I don't know what you're doing for 4th of July, but
I don't have
that'll
any plans
be on
yet.
Wednesday as this comes out on Sunday the 1st, so that's soon too. So, I think this summer's going to be a good summer, I think.
It's going to be a rowdy-ass summer. Yeah, I'm excited for it.
Hard summer. Yeezy season.
Yes, truth.
So, Fate of the Furious. This is a movie in which I should love it because A, Fast and Furious. B, Charlize Theron's in it. I have a whole podcast about Charlize Theron.
Dude, yeah.
And she is awful in this movie.
My biggest gripe when you first see her, we can go through the movie, but you know who she reminds me of in this movie? It's an obvious connection.
Angelina Jolie in Gone in 60 Seconds?
1000%. She's sway from Gone in 60 Seconds. The hair, the roots, the fucking style, the girl, everything. She's just sway from Gone in 60 Seconds. That's all it is. And it was very disappointing to me that they just took an easy out. But as we can see throughout this movie, there's a lot of easy outs and... Yep. Just poaching parts of other movies that they seem to like.
So the main thrust of this movie is that Dom is recruited. Thrust, yeah, thruster, booster, whatever.
Exactly, I liked it. That's why I just wanted to emphasize it, okay.
Is that Dom is recruited to join the dark side, if you will, which is led by Charlize Theron, a hacker named Cypher.
Yes.
Dumb name. Also spelled Dom, C-I-P-H-E-R.
Oh.
Yeah, Dom. He is turned against the family.
He's kind of kidnapped.
Because Cypher has already kidnapped Elena and their baby, who essentially is named Paul Walker. The baby is Paul Walker. He names the baby Brian.
What was Brian's baby's name in the last one?
Jack.
Jack. Those motherfuckers. Mm. They didn't even reciprocate.
It's not great, but it is what it is. But it's just a bummer. This movie is a bummer. I don't want to see Dom go. There's no reason that Dom can't tell the family. Shouldn't tell the family. I know that Charlize Theron's watching him, but there are so many times where it's him and Letty not being heard. He's in an alley.
Yeah.
He can just say, "Hey, remember Elena? You remember Elena? We have a kid. I'm doing this because they have the kid." And then Letty says, it's just dumb. It felt so disingenuous to me that I was like, this had to be written by somebody else. But no, this is written by the same guy, Chris Morgan, who wrote Tokyo Drift On, who's writing Hobbs and Shaw, who's writing Number 9. This is the guy. This is the guy who has created this world.
Damn.
And yet, this movie feels like fan fiction or something.
It does. It does. So when we were watching it, I said...
And not the good kind, like Sharpay 2. This is like bad fan fiction.
It feels... It does. I was watching it with Rachel. She had never seen it before. I have only seen it once. Dom was going against the family, and she was like, why is Dom going against the family? I was like, there's only one reason why Dom would ever go against the family, and she was like, more family, and I was like, exactly. And she had so nailed it.
Yeah, which, I don't have a problem with that premise.
Neither do I.
With the way that they play it out.
Yeah, it's really, it's bad. Like, we start out in a good place. Can we just go through it?
Yeah, let's go through it. We started in a good place, but I also read, so part of what I'm saying, all of what I'm saying is my thoughts. But my favorite film criticism writer, David Ehrlich, who used to write for Rolling Stone, who writes for IndieWire now, who writes for all over the place, he also hated this movie. He said this is the worst movie in the franchise since Too Fast, Too Furious, if not worse than that. And he says, it's just, it betrays everything. There's a friend of mine that I follow on Letterboxd says, the first 10 minutes of the movie where this guy that we don't know is insulting Letty, and Letty can't even defend herself, like Dom has to step up for her, like, that's a betrayal of Letty too. Like, we'll get to that shortly, but it's just like, there's so many things that this series has built up, and they're just like, nah, like, we're good.
Yeah, I agree. It feels weird. We're starting out in Cuba. Dom and Letty are on their honeymoon.
Yes.
We can kind of breeze through this part because it's very inconsequential for the rest of the movie. Dom's got a cousin that's somehow Cuban.
Sucks at racing.
Has a shitty car. Dom uses his car to race, like, the Drift King, the DK of Cuba. Essentially. Yeah.
And he uses, what does he call it?
Cuban NOS.
Poor man's turbo, which is Cuban NOS, yes.
No. Poor man's turbo is he pulls the vacuum plug off the car. The Cuban NOS is laughing gas, which is NOS, but sure.
We also have here, though, before we get any further, we have the first three, maybe three vehicles. We have number one, cars, of course.
Yes.
Number two, motorcycles.
Yes.
And number three, I also wrote down, I don't know how you're feeling about this, there's a car with a boat engine. I feel like that's kind of a third vehicle.
It's like a, like a motorcycle.
Yeah, but, motorcycle. I like that.
You like that? I just came up with
that. Oh, also, before we get further, my first note, go ahead. I was bitching to you about this today. I bought the 4K disc for this. The disc is only the theatrical version. To watch the extended version, you have to redeem the digital code. Like, why am I spending $25 or $30 or $35 on this stupid 4K disc steelbook that doesn't even have the extended cut?
Which, that's pretty bullshit.
For the record, every time we watch this movie, I'm going to watch the shorter version. I'm going to save myself the 12 minutes.
Fucking A. I agree. I don't know what we missed or didn't see or did see, but probably wasn't much.
It was extended scenes. Like, there was that one line that I told you about with, where The Rock mentions Jason Statham's candy ass. Like, there's things
that's
in
good.
Here
yeah, I do
that
want
I'm
the
glad I
ass.
Saw, but it feels like, because there's a movie, there's a site that we've talked about maybe on this podcast, maybe on another podcast, called Movie Censorship. And it's not actually about, like, censorship as much as, like, differences between versions. And I guess it is sort of in that regard, like, the theatrical versus the unrated, the uncut or whatever.
Yes.
But it's just a really, really, really complicated, detailed overview of differences between different versions. So there's, like, 12 or 13 minutes difference here, and there's the overview at the top. They're just like, it doesn't matter. Like 8 minutes of it is just like extended shots, and there's like a couple things here and there, like a couple lines that add up to the extra 4 minutes. But basically, the way the write-up was like, you don't have to see it. Like, you're not missing anything.
Yeah, which sucks, man. We don't even get a fucking closing shot, like an extra scene at the end.
Nope.
Like, damn.
Oh, also, the other thing before we go further is that this is the first and only movie in the series directed by F. Gary Gray, who directed, drumroll please, The Italian Job remake, which I hated, but led to Fast 5 instead of The Italian Job 2, The Brazilian Job, so...
Yes.
Thank you, I guess? Question mark?
Maybe, sure.
But yeah, so they're doing the Cuban Mile.
Cuban Mile, yes. Dom races, obviously he's gonna win, his car's on fire... He just spins the car around so he can win in reverse.
Yep.
He wins. Wu-Tang Dom is for the children. Everybody rushes on him. Like, a lot of small children apparently just love Dom racing. He throws the car's on fire, so he just, like, bails and shoots it off into the water.
But then he gives his cousin his car, the Impala, and his cousin is so happy.
Yeah, because he was racing this, like, you know, the Drift King for his car.
They were racing for Pinks.
They're racing for Pinks, but it turns out Dom's like, nah, you can keep your car. I just wanted the respect.
Which comes back later, although, like, why? Like, why him in New York? Like, that doesn't make any sense either.
Wait, he comes through in New York?
So there's that shot later where Charlize Theron is freaking out because she can't see Dom. Like, he's in, like, the blind spot of God's
eye.
And that's when he sneaks into the bar to talk to Helen Mirren. The Cuban guy is there to, like, help them. Like,
really?
Rico and Tego show up for, like, a second, and the Cuban guy's there. It's like, why? Like, weird. What?
Yeah, what the fuck?
Don't know.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Bring back, like, what's his name from Tokyo Drift? Lucas Black.
Sean?
Sean, yeah. Bring back Sean. Yeah. Why bring back the Cuban guy? Who cares?
I don't get it. I didn't get it at all.
The one thing I do like about this Cuban scene, though, is that just like every other time we've seen this in every other country, like when we were in Six and we had Rita Ora do it, there's the race babe at the beginning. She says, "This is Havana." And just like, yep. That's that, like, always like declaring where we are. She says, "Are you ready, me familia? This is Havana. Be fast. Be safe, but don't be last."
Exactly. I mean, you always need the cute girl to set the race off, so.
Yep.
It works. I liked it.
You know, they're living up the married life in Cuba. Letty's like, I always wonder what you would be like as a dad. Well, don't wonder anymore, because we're going to find out by the end of this movie.
Yeah.
He's just there.
Spoiler, I mean, terrible foreshadowing. Letty's trying to get Dom pregnant, and apparently it happened already.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then he runs into Cypher, Charlize Theron, Angelina Jolie, Sway.
Which I love. I don't know if you noticed, but when he's walking down the street, he's holding a bag. He's coming back from, like, the cafe or, like, the bodega or whatever.
He has a flower.
And sticking out of the bag is a baguette and a rose. And I feel like every time somebody's carrying, like, a bag of groceries, there's always, like, a baguette sticking at the top because, like, that's an identifiable, like, they have groceries. But
exactly.
It's a baguette and a rose. And she's like, oh, okay, like, that's just Dom, I guess.
Yeah, apparently. That sums him up. And he runs into her, she pretends her car's broken, and then she just kidnaps him. That's all you pretty much...
I wrote down one character trait of her in the scene, which is actually mentioned later. Did you make any notes of what her appearance is like here, aside from her dreadlocks?
I do think that she has fake contacts in.
I wrote down she has the bluest of blue eyes, but...
Exactly. I think so.
Unlike Zeph, not natural, and later, when Dom is real pissed off at her, he says, I know that under those blue contacts, or under those contacts, you've got brown eyes, like, you're full of shit. He's like, under that hair dye, I know you've got black hair, like, you've got a black heart.
You're just
you've got
fake.
No soul.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, shit, like, she's no Zeph.
Exactly. But yeah, her face looked weird because she chose to use these fake contacts, which never look real, like, at all, so it was a very surreal, weird thing. Like, when Rachel and I were watching, I was like, she's like, her face looks weird. And I was like, yeah, I think it's, like, fake contacts or something.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Those are not her eyes.
Nope, definitely not.
Then we smash cut to Hobbs as soccer dad, which is a scene that
which
I
is
love.
Real. This is probably the best scene in the whole movie.
But also feels way too long.
I also agree, yeah.
Them doing the haka dance, which is the dance that the New Zealand all-black rugby team does.
Yes.
Like, it's just the intimidating factor, like, incredibly crazy. Just, that's awesome. And then we go to the sideline, we see all of the soccer moms and just other women from the town show up to just stare at Hobbs.
Yeah.
Which, I couldn't help but think of resident historian Mike Manzi's theory that Hobbs is gay, or he could be gay, because he does not seem interested in the slightest in any of these babes.
You're absolutely right. I forgot about resident historian Mike Manzi's theory, but yeah. Now that you say that, there's, like, you know, 400 women showing up for a 20-girl soccer team.
Yep.
And Hobbs just doesn't give a fuck. He just doesn't care, so.
He says it's a big soccer town or whatever. But then they have, like, these, like, it's not Mr. Nobody, but it's Mr. Nobody's goons or whatever. Just, like, sort of feds. Or maybe it's the guys that work with Hobbs. And they're, like, you know, Cypher stole, you know, Cypher's trying to steal
this. Has an EMP.
It's, like, a class 4 WMD. It's, like, this, like, really serious thing. And just like he says in 6, I think, he tells his daughter, Daddy's got to go to work. And I'm, like, okay, cool. He's in there. He's going to get the gang back together. He calls Dom. Dom's working on something. We don't know what it is until the end of the movie. Dom calls the guys. They meet everybody in Berlin.
Yes. And they're on... Is this the same longest runway ever?
I don't know. Where was that? That was in Europe somewhere. I think that... Like, what's interesting about this is that we don't see the actual robbery. We just see them getting away. Like, we see Roman's explosions.
Yeah, for them to cut anything out of the movie, we just went through a 7-minute scene where Hobbs is a football coach.
Yeah.
And, like, then all of a sudden it's like, oh, no, they're just getting away. And by the way, this getaway is the worst acting in the whole movie. Like, the only person that's believable is Roman, because he's just playing himself.
So here's my problem. And actually, Rachel, I don't know if you know, but Rachel texted me while you were watching the movie, and she said,
okay, I didn't know.
I can't stop laughing about Roman trying to speak Russian.
Yes, which is awesome.
I cannot stand Roman in this movie.
What? This is Roman's movie. He's the best part of the whole fucking movie.
I think he's too much of a caricature. He's every line is a punchline. Every line is a punchline.
That's why he's the only good part of the whole movie.
No, I don't think so. I think it's very too much over the top. It's very much way more louder.
Yeah, very, very way more louder. No, I have to disagree. I think Roman is easily the best part of this movie, followed by Tej.
Like, I love Roman, but I feel like
he still feels genuine. He feels like a guy to me in the Fastiverse.
Yeah.
You get a little bit popular. You get a little bit funny.
Yeah.
People start to like you. He just plays it out, man. And, like, if you're going to be a dickhead about it, like, you know what I mean, Roman, if he's going to just, like, play it out and be more annoying, that's exactly what would have happened. You know what I mean? So it feels believable, at least. Like, he might be over the top, but it feels real.
I really think that adding Ramsay to the series is the worst thing that happened to Roman.
Yeah. I like her, too. I like her a lot.
I like her character. I like her. I like her and Tej together.
Yes.
But this competitive, like, Roman just needs a girl. Like, that's just what has to happen. Like, clearly Ramsay is with Tej, or maybe she's with Jason Statham. Like, she's not into Roman. Like, even at the end, she's sort of, like, giving him the possibility or whatever. But, like, there's something needs to happen where Roman doesn't spend the entire movie trying to impress or get with Ramsay.
Yes.
It's
fair.
So...
we can't, 9 can't be like that. I agree.
I'm just being very critical of this because I want this to be better. Like, that's my bottom line. Like,
no, same,
I'm
dude.
I'm being mean because I want it to be good.
No, I don't think we're being mean. We're just talking through it, giving our gripes about it, because I watched it once, so, like, I didn't really have that much going into it. Now that I watch it, I'm fully with you. I want more from it. I hope that 9 can bounce back more, but okay, we'll keep going.
I'm still optimistic for Hobbs and Shaw. I'm optimistic for 9.
Same.
I think that they've done the Dom versus the family thing.
Good. So, like, let's write that out of this fucking story. I want it to be gone. Like, they did it. We played it out. We tried it. It didn't work for us. Yep. Hopefully, it never comes back again.
So, yep.
I agree.
In this escape from Berlin, though, there is a crazy, wacky, Fast and Furious escalation of things where they use that gigantic wrecking ball to obliterate policemen.
Yes.
Or security guards or whatever they are. Like,
oh, they kill many police in this.
You remember way back when in the first episode we're like, I don't think anybody dies in this movie. Like, there's like the one kid gets shot. Like, there's a couple people die that, like,
yeah, Jesse.
And then all of a sudden just like cops are getting like murked across. Like, here in the scene, probably dozens of police officers die, and they're just like, or security guards or whatever they are, they're just trying to protect this like high security thing. Like, they're not
also
in the
Hobbs
wrong.
Is a fucking like cop
at
the end of the day, and he's just like, okay, just kill off all those police officers. So like 30 40 civilians die. I mean, not civilians, but like cop civilians, right? Like, that's close to civilians. He's just okay with it. Like, that's just what happened.
Yeah,
it feels weird, man. It definitely feels
I don't
weird
get
to
it.
Me I mean, not that anything in the Festiverse needs to make sense. It doesn't
right.
Like, that's fine. But like, now they're working with Hobbs. They're essentially like the Navy SEALs of search and rescue or whatever for like...
because Hobbs in this movie demonstrates that he is ridiculously strong and ridiculously good
at
about everything.
They hulked him. He's full on Hulk in this movie.
Which I do not mind. And in fact,
I don't
I
mind
love.
Either. Yep. I really do enjoy it. Yeah, we'll get to that when we get there. But like, he's firmly Hulk. They're trying to get away. They do Plan B, Wrecking Ball, and then all of a sudden Dom has to escape and steal the thing because he's working for Charlize.
Yeah,
because right?
Hobbs offers him, he's like, you know, we'll meet back at the place, beer's on me. And I was like, oh man, he's offering Coronas right now. And then Dom bumps Hobbs' car,
flips
through
it,
the fence,
rolls it,
flips it. And then Hobbs is like, it's too late about me. You know, it's too late for me. Worry about yourself. And he says, I saw that look in his eye. I've seen the look before. Dominic Toretto just went rogue. Everybody else gets away to chase after Dom. Hobbs gets busted here by the Berlin, I guess, Interpol or whoever.
Yeah.
We also get in the scene, sorry to keep talking, but then
no, you're
we also
fine.
Get
go ahead.
Vehicle number 4, the gigantic airplane, like Charlize's like mobile lair.
She has this airplane that can, we later find out, that can dodge satellites. So it never knows where she is.
Yep.
She's like, eye in the sky, like, real time. But okay.
By realizing how she's not being picked up by cameras or whatever, by satellites, they're then able to know where she is. So there's only, like, I guess, one blind spot or whatever. Like, she's the way that she's able to escape is actually what also sort of leads them to be able to find where she is.
Yes, exactly. Hobbs gets picked up by Interpol. He has to go to jail. We get a very Guardians 2 style breakout of jail.
Well, before that, we get Mr. Nobody again. We get Kurt Russell again.
Oh, true. Yeah.
And we also get Little Nobody, who is Scott Eastwood. That's Clint Eastwood's kid. I don't know if you knew that.
No, I didn't. That's a really cool fact. Oh, wow. Okay.
So there's him. Somebody else I follow on Letterboxd is just like, Paul Walker's not even cold in the ground. They're just replacing this guy with somebody who looks like exactly like him, basically. Like, he's sort of playing Brian.
Is he?
Kind of. A little bit.
A little bit. Not much.
I mean, he's a fresh-faced cop. He doesn't know what he's doing, really. You know, he's still high up. He's still part of the family, kind of. It all, there's a lot of parallels here.
Oh, you're right, because he does kind of, like, join the family, so...
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah.
I mean, it's not directly. It's not like they just, like... I mean, they essentially replace Brian with Shaw, which is also really shitty, because hashtag justice for Han.
Yeah.
But in the actors in the series... Paul Walker leaves, and Scott Eastwood comes in. It's just like, oh, okay, I see what you did there.
Yeah, exactly. He comes up to Hobbs. Mr. Nobody's letting him coach Hobbs through what's going on. And they're like, you could be free if you just work for us. Hobbs's like, I'll get myself out of here.
But no, he says, you could be free if you confess to the crimes. Like, just say
oh, that's right, yes.
You know, we won't punish you. Like, you'll be a criminal, but you'll be with us. He's like, no, I'm innocent. Which, he's not.
No, because they're trying to charge him for letting Dom get away, and Dom did get away on his own accord. He didn't, like, okay. Let Dom get away. That's what the whole point was.
I thought they were charging him with, like, stealing the EMP, which they did.
No, they were because he was stealing it for them.
Okay.
Like, he's saying, like, you let Dom get away, and they thought they were in cahoots
again,
a Brian-type situation where, like, he let him get away with it for his own gain, and he's like, no, I didn't do that. Like, Dom stole it.
But then Scott Eastwood makes the fatal flaw of referencing the rock, sort of like, why don't you want to do it for your daughter? At which point he shatters the shackles around it, like his handcuffs.
Snaps his handcuffs right off.
Yep.
Like, just hulks out of them.
Picks Scott Eastwood up by the neck and the crotch, basically, and pins him against the wall sideways.
Yeah, completely sideways. It was crazy. That was a really cool scene.
But then he goes in, and he's, of course, across the hallway from Deckard Shaw, from Jason Statham.
Yes.
And they are just talking so much shit.
To each other, yep.
This is the sort of the preview that we're going to see for Hobbs and Shaw.
Hopefully,
Statham is taunting him. The Rock literally rips a concrete desk off a wall and starts doing curl-ups with it.
Yeah, and he also, that's the extended scene where he says, like, I'd come through there and kick your candy ass. And I was really excited about that.
He says, so why don't you get your candy ass back out there and toss some more
salads,
boy.
Yeah, that's right. That's an aggressive scene. I see why it got cut.
Yeah.
Because it's a little edgy. Five me. You know, it was like a little out there. So the candy ass part, great. The other parts, like, you know, some people enjoy that. So just relax. Then they, like, come in, and, like, Hobbs' door opens somehow, and then they come in, they're like, we're gonna taser you, Hobbs.
It opens because Mr. Nobody's trying to save him. Mr. Nobody's trying to get him out of there.
Exactly. He's like, you know, we're gonna tase you, Hobbs, and Hobbs is like, I didn't do shit. And, like, all of a sudden, Jason Statham grabs the guard, tases him with his own taser, and then apparently if you tase above your door in a maximum security prison, all the doors open.
Who knew?
I'm remembering that, like, the Zeph fact that if you, you know, have a battery and a piece of gum, that starts a fire. If I'm ever in a maximum security prison, just tase above your door. That's all you need to do to let everybody free. He opens all the doors. We have this, like, you know, chase, run, fight scene. Hobbs and Shaw beating up everyone until they finally confront each other. Jump kicks, spins, a lot of parkour that I didn't know Jason Statham or The Rock could do, but sure, whatever. The Rock is just hulking through everything, rubber bullets bouncing off of him, literally. And they, like, get to a point where they, like, fight each other, push each other through, like, under a door, and then boom, they're at Mr. Nobody. He planned this whole thing.
We then go to Charlize's plane, and we find that Tormund from Game of Thrones is there as her...
Yes! Lady. The Nightwalker, yeah.
No, not Nightwalker, he's a North of the Wall guy.
That's what I meant. He's not a Nightwalker, he's a wildling.
Wildling. Charlize calls Dom a genuine outlaw, and then she's basically saying to him, family doesn't matter to you, what matters to you is the 10 seconds between the start and end of the race. That's what matters when you're not thinking about anything else. And she's sort of brainwashing him into being like, family doesn't matter, which is weird because the only reason he's there is because of family. Like, I don't know, what's her plan,
and why is Dom just such a big floppy vagina in this whole movie? Like, he just, like, is just like, okay. Like, he's, like, so not Dom. I think that's part of the reason why we hate this. For me, I'm speaking for you too, but, like, I don't know your reasoning. But for me, I think part of the reason why I hate this movie is he's so non-Dom. He's non-dominational.
We don't know why he's acting the way he is, and so it just feels out of character for him.
And it feels weird. It feels weird in your brain. It feels weird to see. It feels weird for everything. Like, it just doesn't feel right.
I agree.
So he's just being a wet blanket. He's running around, and she's trying to, like, kind of brainwash him. They do the thing where, like, okay, now Hobbs got out. He is, Mr. Nobody brings him to the family. They do the, like, the whole joke that Roman's not on the top 10 most wanted list. He's number 11.
Because Ramsay's number 10, yep.
Roman does this whole spiel, which I think is hilarious, because I think Roman's the best part of this whole movie. And then Shaw comes in, and everybody's kind of mad at him for, like, 3 seconds. Justice for Han. And they figure out Tej. Roman says, let's use God's Eye to track her. Tej and Ramsay get together to try to do it. Figure out that she can't be tracked, but she can be tracked because she can't be tracked. And they find her. She's in the building.
Yes.
That's where we are.
And they have this, like, crazy next-gen, like, flashbang or whatever, smoke grenade.
They're concussion grenades, they call it. She calls them.
Grenades, yes. Yeah. They're there to steal God's eye, and they basically just, like, fuck shit up. Like, everybody just wrecks shit. Knocked out. Yeah, and nobody dies, because they're not, like, murderers, I guess, yet, whatever. They are causing all sorts of havoc.
Yeah, exactly. And Dom goes through, he gets a chance to shoot Letty. Obviously, he's not going to shoot her.
Yep. What was weird, though, is that he shoots all that glass for no reason, and then basically passes the loaded gun over Letty to drop it by his side. I don't even know why you would have the gun anywhere near her. You know what I mean? Like, it just...
Yeah, no, he, like, does kind of, like, wave it over her chest and then brings it around to his side. I mean, that's just a movie tactic. Whatever, I get it. But still feels weird. And then Charlize comes up and just face rapes him. She's just like, what?
In front of Letty, yeah.
Yeah, like, no, that's what she's trying to do. She's trying to, like, antagonize Letty.
But why?
She's trying to ruin the family, dude. She's trying to break it up. So that, I mean, that's one way to do it. So she just, like, face rapes in front of Letty. You know, it's, like, a really weird, Dom's not trying to do anything, but he, like, knows he has to protect Dom Jr. But we don't know that yet. And then they just, like, leave or something, right? Like, that's just fucking...
What I thought was weird, and again, this goes back to what you were saying before about this is just, like, sort of aping so many different movies, is that this is sort of the classic horror thing, like, the call is coming from inside the house. Like...
Yes!
Roman's like, oh, I know how we'll find him. We'll use God's eye. And they use God... And Kurt Russell's like, he knows that's not gonna work, because they've clearly already tried that. But he's like, great idea, let's do that. And then it shows the one, and he's like, cool, we got it. Then it shows all the different pings or whatever.
Yep.
And then they're just like, oh, Roman, like, you're so dumb. I feel like maybe the reason that I don't like Roman in this movie is because they've beaten him down so much that he has nothing but cliches to fall back on. I don't know.
Yeah, but that's what I do. I mean, you know, I love Lifetime movies. You know, I love cliches. So, like, for me, that's what makes it so awesome. He just, like, lives in this world that, like, I feel like I live in, which is just my whole life is just, like, random-ass cliches and dumb sound bites over and over and over again. And that makes me feel good.
I get it. After Charlize, as you call it, face rapes Dom, I wrote down, you probably know, maybe you don't know, that every episode of Friends was The One Where, or whatever, The One With.
Yes.
They all started with The One.
Yes.
I wrote down that this movie could basically be called The One Where Dom Gets Lettied, because he just has amnesia, or seemingly has amnesia,
yeah.
And is basically Letty from Six.
Yeah, that's very true. I agree with it. I hate Friends, but... I know that we're gonna get.
Well, I don't watch Friends. I just know that that's a thing about that show.
You know it is. It's a very annoying part of it. But sure. Then they leave, and the whole family's like, you know who we should call right now? And then somebody's like, no, don't call Paul Walker. He's dead. And then they're like, they're like, okay, cool. We won't call me either. We're just gonna write her out of this movie. It's like, fine.
Which
I mean, like,
is all the reason why when we were talking about at Universal, like, why Jordana Brewster seems so checked out of those scenes, like. Yeah, like, you stop paying me. Why am I here?
Yeah, they're like, okay, you can be in the movie, but, like, do this Universal ride. And they're like, okay, sure, whatever.
Yeah.
So they're like, no, don't call Mia or Brian. We promise we'd never do that again because he's dead. Yeah, that felt weird. So then we get back to the plane. We finally figure out why Dom is being such a wet blanket.
Well, we also found out, did you mention, I maybe forgot it, but did you mention that Shaw is in the room? That, like,
yeah,
Mr. Nobody brings him in because he's like, and this is, I guess, all the justification they need. They're like, only three people on Earth have ever found Dom Toretto and he's hiding. It's me, it's Hobbs, and it's Shaw. And
it's exactly.
Like, oh, I guess that's why he's here. And then this is when he starts chatting up Ramsay, and this is when Roman and Tej continue their bickering, and they're fighting, and, like, their possession of Ramsay, like she's an object and not a person.
Yes.
Roman does have a line that I do like here. It's not like I don't like anything about Roman. It's not like I don't like anything about Roman. I just don't like that everything he says is, like, has to be a joke.
Yeah, it has
to
be one-liners.
He's a caricature.
Yep.
But Tej is like, oh, she's only interested in him because of the accent. And Roman's like, bruh, he ain't got no accent to her. They from the same place. And Tej says, I know I was joking. Roman says, I got the accent.
Barstow.
I'm exotic. Barstow.
Exactly.
And Tej says, exotic. He says, Barstow's exotic to her, which, okay, sure. That sort of makes sense, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
And then this is where we finally find why Dom turned. Like, in the beginning of the movie, Cypher just shows him the iPad. And it's just like,
we don't
this
see
is
it
on the iPad. But here, we see Elena. We see little
Dom Jr.
What is she calling him? Marcos? Marcos. That's his
She's calling name. Like Marcos or something. She's like, I only gave him a middle name. I didn't give him a first name.
His father should name him the first name because men can have to do everything and women aren't allowed to do anything.
But in this movie, we have strong, independent women.
Not really. I mean, everything's scaled. Well, Charlize, yeah, but like everything's scaled back. Like aside from Charlize, every advance here, everybody's just back. It's not as, they're not as progressive as they were.
Okay.
Elena's a shell of herself. Letty's a shell of herself.
Yes, true.
Charlize is a female villain, but she's also the worst villain in the series.
Agreed.
It's not great.
There's a lot more women, but they distributed their powers.
Yeah.
It's like they have the power of Letty just spread across four women now, instead of all of them being as badass as Letty. So, yeah.
Dom hangs his necklace, which we'll come back at the end
this
of the movie.
This fucking necklace every time.
I thought Letty had this, because, like, everybody wears it. Like, this is... Didn't we talk... I think this is what we were talking about. You made the joke, like, this is, like, the sisterhood of the traveling pants, but the necklace?
Yes, yeah.
Because everybody's had this necklace. Elena had it. Dom had it. Letty had it. That was the wedding ring for Letty. Now, Dom has it again. Dom, we'll find out soon, embeds a tracking chip in there, which is how the Shaw brothers, which, by the way, yeah, Owen Shaw's back. He'll be there.
Yeah.
How they find the plane, because the tracking chip in the necklace, like, oh, okay, like, this necklace is just everywhere, and it's all things to all people.
Yeah, exactly. It's everything in the whole movie. It combines, yeah, Sister of the Traveling Pants. There's no better way to say it. That's exactly what the necklace is. He has the necklace. We figure out that he has a son. They need to travel. All of a sudden, we're in New York. Okay, we've been to Cuba, we've been to Berlin, we're back in New York.
Yep.
Or in New York for the first time. I don't think they were ever in New York before.
Yep.
So they show up, they go to this, like, fish market, secret passageway. The fish market's also a garage of just dope cars in New York City. So it's like, wow, rowdy. Roman's being classic Roman again. They're looking through all the cars, but they're not allowed to take the cool ones. They had to take inconspicuous cars, so they take, like, a fucking Corvette and, like, also rowdy, very obviously not inconspicuous cars.
Which feels like the theme of the movie. Like, I mean, Roman later takes $1 million Lambo because he's like, oh, that's what it's reverse psychology, because that's not what he's like. It's so on the nose that, like, that's not what he's gonna be looking for, but, like,
yeah there's a chase. Dom is trying to get the new codes from the Russian,
which cool, which the whole point is that Charlize, her grand plan is she wants to have all the nukes so that if some country starts acting up, she can nuke them and they have to obey her. Like, that's the plan in this movie. Like, that is so weird. But that's the plan.
Yeah, it doesn't make much sense to me, but sure. Then we get the beautiful car fall scene.
Zombie time, as she calls it.
Zombie time. Because she's controlling all of these self-driving cars. She, like, took over their OnStar and is just driving them around New York City. And they're just
Any
chasing...
Any cars with what she says is the zero-day exploit, which is... Like, this movie is so much hacking. It's like... Like, I understand that this is where the series is going, but, like... It's so much computers.
I agree. Yeah, it's a little bit computer out for me. Once we God's plan was peak computer, but they had to, like, one up it, and sure, whatever. So she, like, you know, car falls on all of them, trap the guy in, and then we get Dom the Winter Soldier on top of the car, just chainsaw, like, Ash from the like, what is it? Ash from
Evil Dead?
Evil Dead, just chainsaw handing through the top of the car, and he, like, doesn't even need to complete it. He just lights a flare, and the guy's like, here's your fucking new codes. And just hands them through the window.
Yeah.
And you're like, sure, sure. And then they, like, now you have to race, you have to, the one that Dom Letty's, he has to get out of there. because he's on the bad side.
Yeah.
Shaw obviously has a Jag.
Mm-hmm.
Hobbs has some kind of truck thing, you know. Letty has the Corvette. I forget about the other. New Brian has a Subaru Impreza, or BRZ or something. But he has a Subaru, just like Brian had in the last one. So it's like, fuck. Okay, cool. I get your point where you're saying that they just, like, totally replace Brian with new guy.
Yep.
They just, you know, race Dom. And then they, like, do this, like, caged animal thing. It's, like, a very... This is a very philosophical kind of, like, moral type thing where they, like, trap Dom with all the ropes, right? They, like, all harpoon his car. They're like, that's how we're going to stop him.
Which I still don't fully understand, but okay.
What do you mean?
I just, it's an interesting tactic. I guess it works.
I mean, you could easily have just, like, cornered him, but sure, but he's incornerable. And so they, like, just harpoon his car and drive and pull the car in every direction. Dom, like, somehow barrel rolls out of it or something. It's really bizarre. It's, like, a very long scene for what they're trying to accomplish. Okay, I don't remember much of it.
Yeah.
Dom's, like, getting away, and he just, like, as he's, like, walking away, just, like, Shaw's like, give me the briefcase, and he's like, no, boom, and just shoots Shaw, which is very surprising. But I get it. He doesn't justice for Han.
Well, it's that, but it's also, like, we find out later that that's part of the, I guess, subterfuge that, like, Cypher's now not going to be watching for Shaw, and this is also, in this scene, what we don't see, what we only find out later, is that Dom meets up with Shaw's mom, which is Helen Mirren, and is like, you have family that you want to see again, meaning Owen Shaw, who is now out of the hospital and sort of in prison somewhere.
Yeah.
But Dom's like, because of God's eye, I know where he is. Or as she calls him, and so dumb. She's like, something like, you know, the devil's bunghole or something. It's like, that's not even close.
Lame.
Like, it's just
lame.
Dumb. Anyway, yep. Dom's like, I know where your son is. I need to get my son back. Let's team up. And so he basically has her convince Deckard to get back with Owen, and they're going to go on the plane. So this is all happening, and so part of that plan is, I guess, to sort of fake kill Shaw here.
Yes.
So that he can then go on the plane and rescue his son or whatever.
But he cons Shaw.
Very complicated.
Oh, so he shoots Shaw, and then Letty chases him, and he's obviously not going to shoot Letty. This is the second time we see him not shoot Letty. The wildling shows up, and he's like, I'll fucking kill you, Letty. Dom draws his gun on the wildling, and is like, no, you won't shoot her. They still steal the codes and get back to the plane. Charlize is pissed off, because she's like, why would you ever try to, like, draw a gun on my boy? And he's like, I still got you your code, shut up, woman.
Yeah, basically.
And then where do we go from there?
What we have not been saying, though, which I wrote down, I just haven't been saying, is that there's a couple other vehicles in here. We get number 5,
okay,
the seafood truck that they all take to the, what they call the
box truck. I get it, yeah.
They also have in there, we have a Jeep and a tank.
Yes, we do have a tank. An autonomous tank, too. It's like a it's a driverless tank if you want it to be.
We also have the forklift with $1 million Lambo on it, which is driven by what Roman calls Blanta, I think, right? Doesn't he call it Black Santa?
Blanta, Black Santa, yeah.
We also have in here... Oh, I also wrote down that Hobbs and Shaw... Like, Hobbs and Shaw, the entire movie, this is also, like, sort of Roman-esque in that they're just, like, everything that they're saying to each other is just, like, macho, 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 like, I'm gonna kill you, I'm gonna beat you up, like, whatever, whatever. Hobbs makes a joke about, like, knocking his teeth into his... Like, something about, like... Like, he's gonna beat him up so bad he's gonna have to, like, make him swallow a toothbrush to brush his teeth in the stomach or something like that. It's so ridiculous that Jason said, like, that Owen Shaw just sort of laughs at it, and then Hobbs laughs and is like, oh, they're buddies now. Like, that's the end of Justice for Han.
Justice for Han.
That's it. Like, it's all solved. We're fine. We're good now. Hobbs, who has never met Han, ostensibly,
yeah,
is, you know, he mended fences.
Yep, that was it. It's over. Jason Statham's part of the crew now. We just accepted him. So then we're getting, she's mad, but we need to get to the Ice Fortress, right?
Actually, before we get to the Ice Fortress, there is another very, very noteworthy scene.
Okay.
And that is when Tormund kills Alina.
Yeah, we definitely blew through that.
Because Dom sort of disobeyed Cypher on the streets of New York, she says to him, essentially, you mess with me, I'm gonna mess with you. They kill Alina. I also don't know if you realize, it's not in this scene,
what?
It's earlier. There's the actual baby, there's the actual little Marcos. Did you notice that, like, sometimes she's holding a baby, like, to her, so it's, like, just the baby's back? It is so very clearly not a real kid.
No, I didn't notice it, but that's really funny.
So it's not as bad as American Sniper, where, what's his name from, like, American Hustle? Bradley Cooper. Where Bradley Cooper is, like, cradling that
time.
Very clearly plastic baby. Do you know about that? I'm sure you've seen that.
No, I haven't.
Tangent here. Clint Eastwood is notorious for doing, like, one, at most, two takes for any scene. He's just like, no, we got it. We're going to move on. In American Sniper, Chris Kyle, Bradley Cooper's character, they have a baby, and he's, like, cradling this baby. He's, like, frantic. He's, like, moving all around the room. And the way he's holding it, and, like, the camera gets too much of the baby, and it's very clearly a doll.
Okay.
But it's in the movie because they only shot one scene of it. And it's like that, it's so bad. Like, it's so bad that it was everywhere on the internet for a while that even if you don't, like, consciously know about it, you might have seen it just because it was so bad. Here,
makes sense.
It's not that bad, but it's also really bad. Like, it just, it feels wrong and, like, too still and not like a baby. And, like, it's just...
Like, how did you destroy, like, hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of cars every movie, but then use a fake baby?
I
get
don't know.
It. Like, the dichotomy is really weird. I was saying that as I was watching this movie, I honestly didn't remember it, because this is, like, only, you know, the second time of watching this one. Rachel's like, well, what are they gonna do? Like, Letty's gonna be pissed when she finds out Dom has, you know, Elena's baby. And I haven't seen this in months. I'm not a good movie rememberer.
Yep.
And I was like, the only way I would write this is that Elena has to die so that Letty can be Dom Jr.'s mom, right? Like, that's the only way to solve this problem. It's like, you now, just writing-wise, you have to kill off Elena, otherwise they're gonna be in this weird, like, we saw how creepy it was at the end of 7, when it was like, Elena was there, and Letty was back, and like, or was it 6 or 7, remember?
It was the end of 6.
The end of 6, where, like, Elena shows up, and Letty's back, and they kinda have this, like, awkward moment, like, he's a really good man, whatever. Like, that scene, they couldn't have continued that, so, like, you have to get rid of one of them, and obviously Letty's like, we already killed her off and brought her back once, can't do it twice.
Yeah,
like, we have to get rid of Elena. So yes, so they kill Elena.
So even though you don't remember, you essentially remembered, or you like, you logicked out, like, what they had to do.
I don't know if it was me, like, my unconscious remembering it, but it made perfect sense that that's the only way you can handle this, right?
Yep.
Like, that's the logic of it.
We also, before we get to the actual, like, Ice Palace or whatever we're calling it, they bring up Tormund from Game of Thrones on the computer. They're like, oh, we know him. He's not only tied to Cypher here, but he's also tied to Shaw. He's also tied to Mose Gioconda from 6.
Yeah, he's just friends with every bad guy,
and it's
essentially.
Like, but we already hate him. Like, we hate him because of this movie.
Yeah,
like,
we don't need
to hate him more.
This
we
scene,
already hate him.
This should have been an extended scene. This does nothing for the storyline at all. We could just cut that one completely out.
Yeah.
I agree. So we need to get into the Ice Fortress. Why do we need to get into the Ice Fortress?
Because that's where the submarine is.
Okay, yes. They need to get in to get the submarine that has the nukes, because now they have the nuke codes. Dom's trying to get into the Ice Fortress. They're trying to get in, and they say, like, well, the only way to, like, stop this is to get on the submarine as well, and then we can, like, stop it from the inside.
Because she's remotely, like, Charlize never leaves the plane the entire movie, basically.
Pretty much.
Everything is remotely hacking.
Is she on the submarine ever?
No. Okay,
she's remotely driving it.
Yeah, nobody's on the submarine except for the family. They're all, like, they're remotely starting it up. They're remotely activating the missiles.
Okay.
That's what they actually remove, that, like, when Roman's trying to read
the control
Russian,
panel or something, the control chip.
The go chip or whatever.
Like, yeah.
That, I think, is the remote control for the nukes. So they're still not, like, they're not completely shutting down. Like, there also is, like, cross-hacking, counter-hacking, as Ramsay's trying to stop her remotely, but, like, the core of what they're trying to do is just, like, we need to remove the nuclear capabilities from Cypher, which they do.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's more to it than that.
Dom gets in, they get the sub, who is it? Roman and New Brian are on the sub. What?
I just like you calling him New Brian. I mean, it's perfect.
And this is the part that Rachel couldn't stop laughing at, because I thought it was really funny. They're like, you know, you need to find the chip. It says, like, go chip or something, or like control command or whatever, who the fuck knows. And Roman's like, I got it, it says like kick command,
it'll be labeled guidance go.
Guidance go.
Okay, I got some.
What
it says, hot slack slack back smoke beer zach mech. Do you understand that?
He's phonetically reading Russian, which is just, like, backwards letters and, like, numbers and stuff, and it's just...
Yeah.
I mean, it's exactly what you think it is, and if you're on board with Roman in this movie, it's great. If you're like me and you're not on board with Roman, it's,
It's pretty
fine.
Painful. It would be painful, yeah. Right?
I didn't mind that. Like, compared to the other stuff, I didn't mind that.
Yeah, so anyways, that was really funny. He grabs a chip, which just, like, starts it, right? Or something weird. And then eventually, New Brian grabs a chip, pulls it out, done. They're still driving it, but...
Yeah, with 1 second left on the clock.
Exactly. Obviously, like, that's how you're gonna do it. The family's there. They're trying to get away. Big chase scene. This is, like, a very unmemorable chase scene to me. In the grand scheme of things, it's, like, long, but it's not even, like, the Infinite Runway one where it's, like, at least right. Wacky enough that it's fun. It's like, oh, okay, we can't do an Infinite Runway again, so, like, we're just gonna put them on an ice and, like, drive the sub towards it. Whatever.
So we also didn't mention here that we have Dom shows up to this base. Like, the way that they get the sub is that they bring the EMP there.
Yes.
And he EMPs twice. He, like, takes down all the defenses.
Yep.
And then basically deactivates the sub because it's got such powerful whatever that needs to be right next to it. So he does it right next to that, and that's what they're able to take control. But I also wrote down Submarine is Vehicle Number 9. There are helicopters that are hit by the EMP. That's number 10.
Yep.
There are also military armored cars and vehicles. That's number 11.
Yep.
We have snowmobiles. This is number 12.
True.
And we also have a snowplow truck, which is what Hobbs is driving, 13, which I think is far and away the most vehicles we've ever seen in the movie.
Most different types of vehicles, for sure.
Cool. Yes.
Snowmobiles, one I would never expect we would have seen in Fast and the Furious, but...
Yeah.
They worked them in somehow. This is like a very like I said, it's a very unmemorable chase. Like, they're chasing what goes on. Oh, Roman, like, his car falls into the water.
He's driving a million-dollar Lambo without snow tires, like, or ice tires. Like, of course it's not, like, it's not equipped for the season.
Sure, yeah.
And they're giving him shit. I mean, I don't mind that. Like, I think that's actually kind of funny, because it's just Roman being an idiot. Like, I want this cool car. Everybody has, like, a functional car. And
yeah.
He's just got this sports car that, like, can't turn on ice.
Exactly. No, it's hilarious to me. That's why I said that he's my favorite part of the whole movie. So he's like spinning and shit like that, but then he eventually falls into ice. Tej shoots him with a harpoon, and he's like, Roman, hold the door, and Roman's like, makes like some kind of black people can't swim type joke that I'm not making, but he made.
I don't want to go swimming right now, or something like that. It's not exactly explicitly,
but
like,
that's what he was doing.
Oh, like, 100%.
Yeah. So he makes some kind of joke like that. Tej is like, hold the door, and he like yanks him up by the door, and then Roman's like riding this door. And then we get like a really cool Roman fight scene where like Roman just like doors a man off of a snowmobile. He just like fully hits him, uses the door as a shield for a while, and then just like kills four dudes, one shot each.
Roman's like, this is like a Hobbs moment where he
like he went full
knocks
Hulk.
The guy off with the door. And then picks up that guy's gun and then kills four guys with four bullets. Like, it feels like three or four different times during this chase. Maybe that's excessive. Maybe two or three times. It feels like they kill all the pursuers. And then there's just still, like, another wave of pursuers. Like, it feels like a video game.
Where As I was like just going to say, what was the level in Halo where, like, all of those fucking things follow you?
Oh, you mean every level in Halo? Like, it's every level in Halo. Like,
the one with, like, all the little, like, squids that jump. Remember this one?
Oh, like the... Oh, what's it called? It's not called the Horde. It's,
It is the Horde.
Is
They're
the
called
Horde?
The Horde. They're called the Horde, but it's the level is called something else. But yes, it's exactly what I was talking about.
Library? Maybe the library.
Maybe the library. Yeah, but that's what it felt like to me. Like, every time you kill off, like, 100 of them, it's like, okay, cool. And then, like, another door opens, it's like 300 more. You're like, well, fuck.
Speaking of Halo, how far do we get in our replay? We beat 1, 2. I think we did most of 3. Did we finish 3?
We were in the middle of 3, I think.
We never beat 4. And then I started playing 5, and I was just like, I think I beat 4 myself, and then 5 felt very different. And I was just like, well, all right.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, and then after Roman has that badass moment, he says, number 11, my ass, like, you know, I should
cool.
be more wanted. Right.
Yep.
Then we have the best scene in the movie.
No, we're at the same point, but let me tell you. We're at this point where now the wildling showed up to Dom's car. Charlize gets a feel that Dom is going to do something to save the family, right? Like, she's getting the feels. She sends the wildling up there. And he's like, well, I'm just going to sit in your car with you. And Dom's like, cool, whatever.
And he's got a sniper. Like, he's got, like, a high-tech sniper rifle.
Yeah, exactly. Because he's going to snipe out Letty. They're, like, now we might have missed some of this chase, but, like, it doesn't even make any
difference.
It doesn't matter,
because it's all generic. Like, it's just...
Yeah.
It's a bunch of goons that we don't see their faces, all getting blown up.
Dying.
And the big thing is what you described with Roman's car. Like, there's nothing else of note here.
No, there is. There's the submarine shoots a missile. The Rock just mans it into a vehicle.
He puts a snowplow in the back, too. And then that takes a missile, too. Like, that absorbs a missile blow.
Yeah, sure. Cool. Okay, submarine missiles just, like... you know, hit a car and it's totally fine. He's about to shoot. He's going to shoot Letty. Dom realizes it, gets out and like smashes the door. So he like misses his shot, right? Because at that point, we realize that Shaw's on the plane.
That's what I was saying. It's the best scene in the movie.
That is absolutely the best scene in the movie. Yep.
That the Shaw brothers are on the plane. There's an earlier scene in the movie where, like, Dom is, like, Charlize is basically like, you can kill me if you want, but at the same time, you're never going to get your son and your wife out there, or Elena, whatever she calls her, you know, Elena and your son out, because it requires, like, a dead man switch. Like, there's, like, this one card swipe in the cockpit, and then there's one card swipe, like, way in the back of the plane or whatever.
Yeah.
And you need to swipe at the same time, and that unlocks the room, which is crazy complicated, crazy convoluted, but, like, works for the story, whatever.
Sure, yeah.
And so Dom's like, Dom screams at her or whatever, but that's what we know. So the Shaws come in, they kill a bunch of goons, they go to the cockpit, Owen, the bad guy from Six, swipes in there, Jason Statham swipes in the back, he rescues the kid.
By the way, we don't see Owen, like, much more than 35 seconds in this movie at max.
It feels like the actor was also recovering from, like, whatever hospital ailment he had in the seventh movie, because it's just like, he's barely in it. Like, he does his cool things, his face is all messed up, Jason Statham calls him Scarface, and he's just like, he's like, all right, I'm
here.
They had
that weird moment where his mom's like, take your brother, yep. And he's like, no.
We have, what we're saying is the best scene in the movie, where Jason Statham takes
the baby
headphones, puts it on the baby.
This was so amazing.
In a little car carrier, cranks up real loud on his, like, Apple Watch or whatever, like the watch that Dom gives him to track the necklace. Chipmunk songs.
It's Alvin and the Chipmunks' Christmas album, which is, like, one of my favorite. Like, I hate Christmas. I hate Christmas music. Alvin and the Chipmunks' Christmas album is, like, top tier for me. Like, I could listen to it any time of the year. I love it. It's awesome. So I was very happy. Like, that warmed my heart. That was a really nice choice. I don't know why they went with that of all the choices, but
I
liked it.
And Jason Statham is, like, doing this, like, ballet of shooting guys.
Baby fight.
And, like, carefully moving the baby around and making sure that the baby, like, turns the baby away so he doesn't, like, see him shoot people. Like, it is such a great scene that, like, it makes me angry even more so that we had to watch the previous 2 hours of this bullshit. Like, because the last half hour of this is so good. I love the last half hour of this movie. Like, I love, like, it's some of my, between this and between, like, Dom coming back to the family and them, you know, we're getting ahead, but, like, them all, like, surrounding him with their car so he doesn't get burned alive. Like,
yes.
That's all awesome. Like, I love that. And it just drives me crazy that it feels like we just wasted, not just the movie, but we wasted, like, 4 years. You know what I mean?
Cause
it's,
and this, like, one's long. No, this one's is long. It's like, what, 225 or something with the extended scenes?
So, the theatrical was like 215, and this is like 228.
Yeah, which is fucking long, dude. For them to, like, dick around the whole movie, like, sure, okay. So, yeah, we get the Jason Statham, like, best scene in the whole movie, where he's baby fighting. Like, he's, like, fighting
it's
with
the
baby, and, like, he's, like, kind of, like, dancing. You know what I mean? Like, he uses this, like, choreographed dance where, like, he's saving the baby. Charlize jumps out the plane. And then how does he get out of the plane with the baby? Or do we know?
I don't know if we see it. I don't know if I zoned out. I think they probably just, like, forced the guy to land the plane.
That's what it was. Yeah, the other Shaw brother's like, you're gonna land now. And then they just land. At the same time, like, they're getting shot at, the family surrounds Dom to prevent him from dying because Dom throws a something. Oh, Dom hits a truck and causes the guy to hit his elbow into, like, his missile launcher and just destroys every car behind them.
It was the most convenient destruction of, like, everything. He just, like, sort of taps a car.
We've seen Dom jump across a ravine, like, over a bridge type thing. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, separating things. And that made more sense than this.
Yeah. So then Charlize, Cypher, is, like, furious at Dom. And this is when Dom's like, oh, wait, I want to make sure I get the order of this right. He kills Torment. He punches the wildling in the head and breaks his neck.
Okay.
He knocks Torment onto the
hood. Oh, yeah,
he knocks him,
he flips him onto the hood of the car, and then he, like, hits his
down.
Chin down, like, snaps his neck, yep.
Charlize calls the wildling, and Dom answers, and they have this back and forth, and she says, you lose, Dom. And he says, no, I destroyed two of your teams, I killed your redheaded boyfriend, and I put two killers in your untraceable plane. You lost the minute you interrupted my honeymoon, now guess who I'm coming for? And it's like, yes.
Exactly.
And so then, furious, not to be confused with Furiosa, a good Charlize role, she sends a heat-seeking missile after Dom. And Dom, in his ice charger, rides across
ice.
Ice
charger, yes.
And jumps using the same sort of, like, we talked about in a couple movies before, that, like, wheelie of the car. He sort of rears back, jumps the submarine, and the heat-seeking missile crashes in the submarine. And so I realized...
crashes in a submarine, yes.
I don't know if you noticed, but this is the second time in three movies, the end of Six, the end of this one, Dom is basically about to be engulfed by flames. In Six, he walks out of the fiery wreckage of the plane.
Yep.
Here, the family drives around him and shields him with their cars.
I did notice it, because I noticed it as soon as he drove through, like, the first fire, when he, like, came to the family's rescue. I was like, this is very reminiscent of Six.
Yep.
So, that's pretty much the end of the movie, right?
Yeah.
Then we get, like, then we go back to New York, we're on a roof.
Cypher's still, like, she's not captured, she might return, I guess, in theory.
I hope that she's not the bad guy in 9. I hope that she's not. I hope that Hobbs and Shaw, like, get her in, like, the side story somehow, like, there's somebody bigger than her, but, like, she just gets captured in between or something.
I think she'll be back. I don't think she'll be back in 9.
Okay.
We then have, as we like to end every movie, we have a barbecue, and...
we do.
Dom says to Shaw, who apparently is now invited to the barbecues because he's part of the family now, even though he killed Han, you know my son's only American muscle because Jason Statham gave him, like, a little, like, boxing glove with a British flag on it.
Yes,
like,
yeah.
Okay. And then he's like, Dom's holding the baby up. He's like, all this fuss over you. And then he says, you heard me say that you never turn your back on family, and I want to thank you all for never turning your back on me. You want to meet them? All right, everyone, meet Brian.
And he drops that his name's Brian.
But, like, remember, in this world, Brian's not dead. Brian's a phone call away. Name the baby Paul Walker.
He could have called him Paul. That would have been pretty dope, too. Like, in what world is he not Dom Jr.?
Exactly. The audience knows what you're doing. You're paying respect to Paul Walker, to Brian O'Connor, to the character that built this franchise. Name him Paul. You're already crazy and over the top in meta. Take that extra step.
Yeah, I get it. I absolutely get it.
The other thing of note in this last scene is that Hobbs turns down the job from the DSS, and he's now going to, I guess, stay with the crew, stay with the family, stay with his daughter, whatever. Maybe smooch up on some guys. Who knows?
Yeah, exactly. He wants to just coach the girls' soccer team.
Yep. I had one note earlier in the movie that we skipped that I want to say. He says, and I just like the way that he delivers this. This is when he and Shaw are in prison, and they're taunting each other back and forth. He just says, I will beat your ass like a Cherokee drum.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I really cannot wait for Hobbs and Shaw. Justice for Han aside, they are so good together in these movies.
Dude, Jason Statham's just a badass in general. So, like, it's two really awesome badass dudes that, like, I really like as actors. I'm excited for it, too.
I mean, I told you that when I was in theaters and I saw Six, and in the credits we see Han die and Jason Statham comes out, I stood up and cheered in my seat. I was like, I could not control my body. I was so excited to see Statham in this franchise.
Yeah, same.
Here, you know, we have Charlize Theron, whom I love, who I have an entire podcast about, and, like, it's just, it's not the same.
No, it's definitely not.
That's all the notes that I have about this. Do you have any other notes about The Fate of the Furious before we have to watch it again in, like, 8 weeks or 8 months, I mean?
No, I don't have anything else to say about it. Can't wait to see my re-rankings after it.
On our recap relap.
Recap, relap, relapse. I don't know how I feel about it, and I think this might be the worst one.
I re-ranked mine tonight. I put it on Letterboxd, because apparently,
I need to go do it.
After I saw this in theaters, I ranked this. I ranked all 8, and I put them in my review. And so tonight, I re-ranked them, and I put them in my review. So, if you're on Letterboxd, and you follow me, like our new friend, a fine girl on Letterboxd,
yes,
you've probably already seen my rankings. That's a sneak peek of the episode coming in 2 weeks. Our lap one relapse.
I'm not going to check them.
Don't.
Exactly.
Okay, so the next segment that we have on the show is On the Streets.
On the Streets.
Which is the news about the movies, about the franchise, about the actors. I came up with 5. I don't know if you found any.
I found one. It's a little bit relating to what we're talking about.
Hit me with it.
It's an article from The Sun UK, from 9 days ago, and it says, I'm going to ask you this question. What does Dwayne The Rock Johnson, John Cena, and Vin Diesel all have in common?
Dwayne The Rock Johnson, John Cena, and Vin Diesel?
Yeah, what do they all have in common?
They're all handsome gentlemen who are very, very strong.
No. What? You're getting there. They're all technically obese.
Oh. Makes sense.
Yeah, because they're, like, just fucking huge muscularly, so.
Mm-hmm.
That was my little tidbit. That's my first one. Just a little fun
one.
Well,
I have one not really related to that, but also kind of related to that. Vin Diesel was in Wisconsin. He went to an ice cream shop, so obesity right there, and
yes,
he just left with the ice cream dish.
He just walked out with it?
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, if you're at the ice cream shop, like, you're not going to stop him. Like, why would you stop him?
Yeah, this is, yeah, weird.
I also saw that Hunter College awarded Vin Diesel an honorary degree 30 years after he left.
Ooh.
An honorary PhD, as he gave the school's commencement speech at Radio City Music Hall on Wednesday.
Oh, that's cool.
He
Damn,
attended Hunter for 3 years in the 80s before leaving early to pursue his acting career in Hollywood.
Very cool.
Oh, so this past weekend, as we're recording this... Oh, go ahead.
I've dubbed myself this now, and I'm going to stick with it. I would like to consider myself resident relationship historian.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tyrese Gibson is currently seeking full custody of his daughter.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's better. We tracked his whole little break there.
Yep.
And hopefully he's feeling better and got some help, and hopefully he gets the custody that his daughter deserves.
Yeah. So no real update there? He's just sort of seeking full custody?
He's seeking full custody. He wants to see her more in Atlanta. He's currently splitting custody. He's now claims he created a stable and loving environment for his daughter. And he lives in a 23,000-square-foot home in a in a safe neighborhood in Atlanta, which I think would be pretty comfortable for a child. So, sure.
Yeah. I would say so, too. This past weekend, as we were recording this, was Father's Day, and there's a couple different posts that I found about The Rock.
One, it said,
Dwayne Johnson credits his dad for showing him what it means to be a man, and more importantly, a father.
That's cool.
Also, similarly, his wife, Lauren, I think wife, right?
Yeah,
his girlfriend.
I think so.
His girlfriend.
Maybe. Who knows?
Lauren Hashian shared a sweet tribute for boyfriend Dwayne Johnson on Father's Day, Our Protector. I don't know if you saw this, but she, you know, posted a thing on Instagram about him and the baby, and it's super cute. So
very cute, because he just had like his child not too long ago. I don't know, it was his first one,
I think so.
Wait, I don't remember, because we like looked it up when we were talking about something else. I was wondering if the little girl in this movie is his daughter too, but I feel like I think his child that he had that's very, very newborn, less than a year old, is his first child, but I'm unsure.
He was married to a woman named Danny Garcia from 97 to 2008.
He's been
dating Lauren Hashian since 2007. So I guess I don't know what happened there, but something.
We can figure it out. Well, I mean, they might have, like, you know, started the divorce proceedings and then it didn't finish till later, so that makes sense, but okay.
Oh, they have a daughter, Simone, who was born on August 14th, 2001. On June 1st, 2007, they announced, you know, he and his wife, they were splitting up amicably soon after the divorce. He began dating Lauren Hashian, the daughter of the late Boston drummer Sib Hashian. Oh, drummer of the band Boston. His daughter. They first met while he was filming The Game Plan in 2006, and then they had their first child. Oh, they have two kids. So they had a first child, Jasmine, the day after my birthday, December 16th, 2015.
Oh, really? Because Rachel's the 17th, so you're 15, 16, 17. That's
there you
cool.
go. Little Jasmine sandwich there. And then they had their second baby, Tiana Gia Johnson, on April 17th of this year. So there we go.
Cool. Very cool.
And I have one other thing. We don't do this on Watch a Throne. I have a Charlize Theron news update that she traded punches and kisses with a boxing champ. A kiss on the cheek. Chris Van Heerden, a former IBO welterweight champ who's a big fan of the actress. They're both from South Africa. So she trained with him because she's in great shape. She trains for all these badass movie roles. So she trained with him, and then, you know, they had a kiss together. They had a picture together, and she kissed him on the cheek at the end. So, cool.
Sweet. It's the clickbait article, but it was good. I liked it.
So that's everything I got. Do you have any other news from on the streets?
No, that's all I got for this month. All
right.
Yeah, that was pretty much all I was tracking. So.
So our next segment is the mailbag segment, which we have an email address, as I said earlier, family@cageclub.me. Email us, let us know what you think of the movie. Do you like Fate of the Furious? Are you disappointed like we are? Because the people that I follow on Letterboxd, we don't play the Letterboxd game on this podcast.
Yet.
But it really, like, the people I follow spans from, like, 1.5 to 4.5 stars. Like, people,
there's
a real wide spectrum. I gave it, I think, 2.5.
Okay.
I still can't hate this movie. I mean, it's good, yeah. But
we wanted more.
It frustrates me. Okay, so we have one email today.
Cool. Who's it from?
It's from friend of the show, Melissa Lynam, who will be on our next Magic Mike's episode.
Building She's the Family.
Man. She sent in an email called Car Picks.
Okay.
She says, another car for Joe Chu to guess. She said, there's also a video element. I don't know what the video element is. Let me take a look at this. She says, one hint is that it's gray. She also didn't tell me what the car is. Oh, no, I know what it is. Okay.
Okay.
So it's gray.
Yes. That helps.
The country of origin
is?
Germany.
Is it a Porsche?
It is.
Is it a 911?
No.
Is it a Cayenne?
No.
A Cayman?
No. It's a type of car that I've never heard of, but that doesn't mean that's not popular or famous. It's just, I haven't heard of it.
Two doors, four doors?
It is a four-door car.
Panamera.
Yep.
Yeah. Awesome.
And the video component is that it has like a little sort of spoiler in the back that
when it hits 75 or 80 miles an hour or something, 70 or 80 miles an hour.
So yeah, so I feel like, I don't know if we're playing the game right or wrong, like that was really easy.
No, a Porsche with four doors, that's why I asked that question, because as soon as you said four doors, I knew there's only, it's either, I said Cayenne, which is the SUV, and they only make one four-door car, so.
So just put the pictures and the video into Discord, you can take a look at them.
Yeah.
Watch the video.
Did she record this video herself?
I don't think so, I think she probably found it online. Maybe. Melissa, write in. Let us know. family@caseflow.me. You know how to write it in.
Panameras are really cool. I remember when they came out, you know, my parents had a rental car place across the street from a Porsche dealership.
Yep.
This is a relatively new model for Porsche, right? It's only been around for maybe 7 or 8 years at this point. It hasn't been around for a super long time. It was like the first four-door coupe because all the Porsches before that were two doors.
Cool.
I mean, it was like the first four-door vehicle that Porsche released that wasn't an SUV. So, yeah.
So our last little segment, our last little game on the show is, boy, do I have a podcast for you, a.k.a. This Ain't No 10-Second Race. So,
I'm excited.
For the second time, Joe, in this game, the guy you tweeted at had his account suspended.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he replied or retweeted mine last time, too.
No. So last time it happened, he retweeted and liked it, but that got wiped because we had no proof of it after the fact. This time...
But you just admitted it. Okay, fine.
This time, it was... I think this guy got deleted, within, a couple days of, you tweeting at him or whatever.
Am I just, finding, alt-right lovers of Fast and the Furious or something? Like, what the fuck is going on here?
It doesn't matter because the guy that I tweeted at Foon, did not like or retweet or reply, so still...
Makes sense.
Officially, nothing.
This is a terrible game.
But hey, it ain't no 10-second race.
It ain't no 10-second race.
We will get there. So Fate of the Furious, why don't you, if you haven't yet, why don't you find a tweet
I'm gonna
that
find
we're going to use on Twitter?
I'm definitely finding one. Oh, I got one.
Okay.
I got one. Hold on. Let me send this to you. Boy, did I find a good one. Oh, I'm very proud of this. Let me send it off here. So you can see it and reply to them as I read it. I found...
Oh, I saw this, yeah. Did you search for Fate of the Furious on Twitter?
I did.
Yeah, me too. That's how I found
this one. So I found apparently a podcast at I Have Some Notes. It says, audience participation alert. We're recording Fate of the Furious tonight. Spoiler alert, so are we. Leave us your fixes and comments so we can read them on the show. Boy, do we have a podcast for you. And it's us. So... Yeah, and this is like a huge... They started a huge fucking thread, too. So this is what I'm going with. I want these guys to hear... I want to hear what they have to say. I'm going to listen to it. And I want to hear what they have to say about us. I have a podcast for them.
So, boy, do we have a podcast for you. Link to our show page. Hashtag too fast, you whoever. Hashtag 2F2F. Hashtag fast and furious.
Exactly. Sent.
Oh, also, they tagged a whole bunch of people in that, so that went to, just so you know, 10 people. So there's a real good chance. Are we playing that anybody likes it, or does it have to be from I Have Some Notes if they like it or retweet
it? We haven't established rules, so I think this time it just counts if anybody likes it, because I'm going to get more points that way.
I get it. I am tweeting at a smaller account, I think. This is at Ashton Lee, who says, I've seen Fate of the Furious 5 times now, and every time Dom says, everyone meet Brian, spelled wrong, I burst into tears.
Well, she was almost there, and she can learn, because boy, do we have a podcast for her. Yeah, she did spell Brian wrong. Interesting.
She's pregnant, too, so I mean,
she is pregnant.
All right, so I have some notes, and Ashton Lee, you are our hopes for this next month of, boy, do we have a podcast for you, a.k.a. This Ain't No 10-Second Race. So since we last recorded a full episode, we do have a mini episode of this, put out our supercharged
bonus episode. Yeah.
Bonus episode. Also in the last month, we did our boyfriend material episode of Only God Forgives, which is a movie that I loved.
Only Goss Forgives.
Only Goss Forgives.
Yeah.
We also did our Magic Mike's episode, the super crossover edition with, so appropriate for tonight, Watch the Throne of Battle in Seattle.
Resident historian Mike Mancy was on the episode too, because that's your partner there.
The next thing we're recording is She's the Man, with friend of the show Melissa Lynham. She will be on talking about Channing Tatum and Amanda Bynes in that film.
Oh, that's right. I didn't imagine Amanda Bynes was in it. She's actually in it. That's cool.
Then after that, we're going to do the lap one relapse recaps.
Yes.
Of this lap.
Yeah.
Then we're going to do the Gosling episode, Boyfriend Material, of Gangster Squad with resident historian Mike Manzi.
Yes.
Then 1 month from today, maybe the most exciting thing we've done in a while, lap two, episode one.
Oh, the dude, Fast, I'm so excited for lap two.
And the Furious.
I'm very, very excited. I feel good that we rounded out lap one, dude. This was the beginning of the end, right? Like, we've accomplished one lap. We've gotten there that far.
Yeah.
So we have time. We have nothing but time.
We got nothing but time.
Yeah.
And just remember, you can have any brew you want.
As long as it's a Corona. I said both of those things today.
My plan for my housewarming is I'm just going to go spend $100 on Corona, and then if anybody wants anything else, they can just bring it.
Amen. I was talking to Rachel's parents this weekend, and they said, when are you planning on leaving? And I looked at them and said, I got nothing but time. And neither of them were realized what I was doing until they were like, what, huh? And then Rachel was like, it's a Fast and the Furious quote, shh. And they just stopped it.
Did they, were they disappointed that you were not leaving?
No, they were really excited that I wasn't leaving. Because that means Rachel's not leaving. That's not like I'm not leaving. It's like Rachel's not leaving yet.
It's true. So, that's true.
Yeah. That's what they were excited about.
So do you have any other thoughts before we wrap up, before we close up shop on Fate of the Furious? Essentially, I mean, we still have the relapse recaps, but this is essentially the end of lap one. We're going to come back with the re-rankings. We're going to do this, I think, live in
person. No, I want to do the recap after. I just want to say, like, for my second, like, full-through watch of this,
yep.
I'm more disappointed this time, and I'm excited to see how this plays out later, and if we get, like, really disgusted with this one, or if you come around, if Roman gets annoying for me, or better for you, how it plays out. So that's what I'm excited about.
Because I was worried about Too Fast, Too Furious. You were worried about Fast and Furious number 4. Both of those, I mean, I still don't love Too Fast, Too Furious, but I like it a lot.
Yeah, more than this.
And you remembered that Fast and Furious is not as nearly as bad as you were thinking. I mean, it's still,
no.
Compared to the rest, not as good. But this is now going to be the sticking point. Like, we're going to find out on that Relapse Recaps episode if this is our bottom for each of them. It's we're gonna find out. We're gonna get through it together.
We'll go through it together. We will.
For all things Too Fast, Too Forever, including all 8 episodes of Lap 1
and plus our Facebook
the bonus
page.
Episode. I'll get there. Go to cageclub.me, facebook.com/cageclub, @cageclubpod on Twitter and Instagram. We also have our own Facebook page that Joe runs, facebook.com/toofasttooforever. Go check out pictures and memes and videos and all sorts of fun stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Lots of nonsense by me.
Email us, family@cageclub.me. Let us know what you think of the lap one now that lap one is basically over. Again, if you're listening to this, actually, I don't know. We might record the relapse recaps before this episode comes out. I'm not sure.
Good, say it.
But no, I was going to say, like, if you have thoughts on lap one, let us know. We'll either read it on the relapse recaps episode or on episode one of lap two. We'll just, you know, we'll do that.
Or send us your fucking rankings. I want to hear your rankings because we'll read ours and then we can read yours and we can discuss them. So, yeah.
We're talking to you, Doubting Tom. We're talking to you, Wes Hampton. We're talking to you, Jenny McMullen, if you're still listening. We're talking to you, Montez.
Rachel.
Melissa.
I mean, Matt, Melissa did Matt maybe. Yeah, exactly. Send us your fucking rankings.
Let us know what you think. We will read them all. And remember, lap two is going to be the building a family, assembling a crew lap, where we're going to have guests on every episode. We've already seen these movies once and recorded about them. This is going to be more of an
experience
session. Yes.
Yes, exactly.
A couple new games on each show to bust out, to crack open, so it's going to be fun. I'm excited for lap two.
We're going to have some fun.
CageClub.me, facebook.com/cageclub, facebook.com/toofasttooforever, @cageclubpod on Twitter and Instagram. Email us, family@cageclub.me. This ain't no 10-second race. We're not going anywhere. We covered all eight movies. Gonna do them again.
Start it
from
over.
The start. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
I'm Joe too.
And we'll see you next time on Too Fast, Too Forever.
Dale, sin miedo. Arriesgate y sígueme el juego. Sola, creo. Y a tus amigas hasta luego. Una de esas explicaciones solo vente. Que tu mente malvada, eso yo lo sé. En tu mirada yo lo puedo ver. Te mata mi estilo y eso yo lo sé. Pam pam pam, baila que no te he visto, pam 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 pam, porque tú eres lo que yo soñé, no perdamos el tiempo, pam pam.